advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Let's see. That was kind of loud.
Yeah, it was.
Was that a kind of whoop?
Sound like,
yeah.
It's kind of
definitely
whoop ass.
Yeah. It sounds a little. It sounded a little low in the headphones. A little volume's not. I guess it sounds okay.
I'm good
now. Maybe my ears are clogged.
Maybe.
Maybe you got a fucked up ear.
You got a fucked up ear.
Yeah.
I got a Gieber ear.
No, it's not that.
Doesn't make you not hear though.
Mine's fucked up on the inside.
No. He was just saying he had a fucked up ear.
My ears are getting bad, man.
What?
Like, I got old man. I can't hear. Yeah. Excuse me.
Huh?
For real though, I can't hear shit.
What?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. I don't even know what you're saying. That would be weird. If we
ears or one ear?
If we put noise canceling headphones on, where we could only hear ourselves, so we couldn't hear the other people talk and recorded the show.
Terrible. No, I have trouble when there's like background noise, like when you're in the coffee shop. And
oh
like,
yeah.
And all that shit's yeah. going on. They're like,
I have what's it called? Tinnitus.
Where it rings?
Tennis elbow.
Yeah,
in my ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the humming. It's like a constant hum. Mm-hmm. I have
always.
That. Yeah,
I get
it's
it.
It's fucking
sometimes.
Annoying.
Yeah,
like, it would be fucking annoying.
If I stop, like it's fine when everything's like you know we're talking, everything's fine. But when I stop, I hear this whoa, like this like ring.
We have like a little opening in like a bar that goes into our kitchen from the front room. Like it's someone cut a hole in that wall at some point.
That's
made
fancy.
Like a pass through.
That's
yeah.
fancy.
I mean, there's no travertine tiles, but
yeah, it's marble.
But if you're in there and like the washer and dryer is at the end of the kitchen, it's like a galley kitchen. So mm-hmm. at the very end, if one of those is on, the people in the front room really can't hear that.
Yeah.
But you can hear, well, I can hear nothing if I'm standing like by the refrigerator, mm-hmm. the sink, the stove.
Right.
And I get in trouble constantly yeah. for like, what? What'd she say? What?
Right.
No, I do like the old man thing. I ask my daughter, like, what? What'd they say? Say it again. What?
Yeah. Ooh, I've got a little bit of
wow.
old man.
It's a heavy pour there, sir.
That's more than I
that
expected.
Is some, that mm-hmm. is, oh, yeah.
Making
oh
excuses after, don't justify yeah, before.
That's so
I'm not sure it's going to be any good.
More pointing this.
That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot for a really shitty twist top whiskey.
Might be the best thing you've
ever happened. That's what happens when you pour and the bottle is in
I
your
I can
way.
Smell it from over yeah. here and it doesn't
like
smell
like all
good.
I saw was bottle.
Let's see.
Yeah, so let's do the hot sack winner. So mm-hmm. I did pick a hot sack winner. It is Chloe Scheffer.
What did she do?
She just basically was saying how good black was on everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that's clearly the winner. I mean, I don't have an agenda.
Right.
But I thought that was a sweet sentiment, you know? So Chloe Scheffer, thank you. You are the hot sack winner or hot box winner. Cause it'll probably be shipped in a box. Yeah. I wonder if we shipped in a sack. I wonder how beat up it would be.
I used to ship sacks like those. Yeah.
The t-shirt bags.
No, they gave us. A lot of times
old Navy bags.
No, the grocery like the shopping bags.
Shopping bags.
Yeah,
like
I had
bags?
Those from Ellie Kateko, like the ones that are like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you bring your own. Mm-hmm. I had a bunch of those, and they were actually hot sacks for a long time.
Well, that's good,
but not anymore.
Yeah.
There's nobody commenting on here. I think our live didn't really go live.
That's
I fucking
weird.
Hate this thing.
It says active.
Right. Yeah, it does say active.
We need to figure something else out.
Yeah. So what's this whiskey?
This is Smooth as Silk, Kessler, yeah. American Blended Whiskey. This is from Matt Mitchell. He gave this to us a long ass time ago, but it was more as like a side joke note. He had some backstory about always having a bottle of Kessler in his trunk. I think like him and our old friend Mike Money that passed.
I think this is like Old Crow. You know what I mean? Like it's like right. just like the
It doesn't smell that bad.
Give it a strong whiff. There's
It's got the rubbing alcohol.
It's got an isopropyl perfume in the back.
Definitely. I was just gonna say that. I took a nice whiff.
When you call it American whiskey, there's something wrong because that's not a thing. There's like no.
What's if you took a bunch of different whiskeys and just mixed them together? What would that be?
There's blended whiskey.
That'd be a world whiskey.
Yeah, I'd call that a global whiskey.
Suicide.
Yeah.
But in global general, it's like
whiskey.
You pick a state or like a region.
Yeah, yeah.
Not true. Just like American whiskey. That's not like Canadian whiskey. That's a thing.
Yeah. So if we made it, would be California whiskey.
Sure.
This is from Kentucky.
Why isn't it bourbon?
Claremont, then? Kentucky.
That should be bourbon.
But it says American whiskey on the label.
It's marketing, man. It's like the Turkish blend on the marketing.
Turkish blend is really, yeah.
That's a lot of fucking
whiskey. I was not drinking all that. Yeah. Oh, that's smooth as silk.
Smooth as shit. It really is smooth as silk.
Wow, I'll be goddamned.
Smooth as
it doesn't have like
silk.
The most flavor I've ever had.
So, it's hot at the back end.
Yeah, and it was kind of sweet on the front.
It really was.
A little spicy on the back.
It couldn't get smooth.
It really was. No, what? It was very smooth.
God damn. What percentage is it? Is it like weak? Is that weak sauce?
80 proof.
Yeah, you know,
40%. Huh,
normal.
I'll be goddamned.
Yeah, I wonder how much this costs.
Probably $10. No more than $14.99. Wow. No more than $14.99. Oh, yeah. With a bottle like that. Yeah.
If you're paying $14.99.
I mean, that's sitting right next to the pop-off in a Fast Trip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
wow, that was unexpected. Yeah. That was completely unexpected.
I'm looking it up. Kessler, American.
You could punch me in the face and call me Cassius Clay.
Yeah. That's a good segue. Yeah.
It's key. You guys keep going. Yeah, I'm looking.
Anyway.
I can't promise I'll find prices. You guys, $8.69.
Good God.
I was being generous with the $14.99.
You were doubling it.
That almost beats my Walker Texas Ranger.
I'm saying for that price, for that quality, it does beat the Walker Texas Ranger.
I have to say,
you might have
to
have a bottle of both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's impressive.
I'm going to say, if you're aiming for a trunk whiskey,
that's it.
That's a damn fine trunk whiskey.
Because if it spills all over,
you don't give a shit.
It doesn't matter.
You're out $8.
It really doesn't matter. Right. If you're poor, you can still get a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, why aren't bums walking around with this stuff?
Maybe they understand. Are, though. I don't know.
It might be.
Yeah.
The little airplane bottles.
I don't know what's behind the brown bag.
I like the name, too. Kessler. You know, Kessler. Sounds good. Rolls off the tongue.
It does.
It's very smooth. Mm. Smooth as silk.
Smooth as silk.
Yeah.
So is Muhammad Ali.
You're exactly right.
In the ring. So Muhammad Ali is our topic today. And I love one of the things I realized as I was doing the research and by the way, if everybody knows who fucking Muhammad Ali is.
I didn't before this.
Right, yeah. But if you know who he is, but you've never seen him fight, he's definitely worth YouTubing to watch him fight. But I suspect in the realm of fucking UFC and WWE and all this stuff, unless you really know boxing, you won't be impressed with Muhammad Ali. I think unless you know boxing, you probably won't be impressed watching a lot of boxers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like, what's his face that can't read? The champion right now, Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, right.
Kind of like that. Like he's super boring. No.
Right.
Muhammad Ali's forward,
but it's like
reader.
Crazy. Well, forward. No, it is crazy. But I'm just saying, like a lot of people who don't know boxing, you'll watch boxing and you're like, I don't get it. Why you think that guy's great? Like,
right.
Unless you see Mike Tyson who just knocks somebody's fucking head off in 8 seconds and eats their ear, like. But so even if you watch it and you're
eats
not
their ear, yeah. Knocks them out and then eats their ear.
Even if
that's
you
what
watch
he did
it,
in every match.
Yes, it is what he did.
He did it one time and it just every time. You know, you suck one dick.
Exactly.
You know, you're a cocksucker exactly. The rest of your life.
But even if that doesn't impress you because you don't dig boxing or you don't know the sport or you don't see what he's doing, that's fucking crazy. Like just YouTube a clip of him talking shit.
Yeah.
Because there was never anyone better.
He's like Chris Rock as a boxer.
Oh my God. Like
or The Rock as a
exactly.
Boxer.
That's exactly what I was thinking as I was watching it. I was like, that's The Rock. Except the difference is like The Rock is fake shit talking to people to put on a fake match.
And the People's
match.
Champion thing. Like,
right,
I thought
exactly.
about the connection.
I wonder.
You thought about the Rock and Sock connection?
Yeah.
Rock and Sock. Yeah.
But Muhammad Ali was like legit. Like the thing is though, his shit talking was legitimately a tactic. Mm-hmm. Like the shit he said pissed people off so bad that they left their training at the door.
Yeah.
Like they just went in there trying to fucking knock his block off and he got in their head.
Fighters, that's what they do now. I mean, they learned from that. You know what I mean? Look at Conor McGregor, UFC. Mm-hmm. fucking just huge shit talker.
But the difference is, though, Muhammad Ali's got the gift of gab so that when he's doing the shit talking, he's not souring anyone in the audience. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times you'll watch a Conor McGregor, you'll watch someone like that. And it's like what a fucking egotistical asshole. Yeah. He was so over the top with the shit he said. Like some of it, like some of the quotes will come out throughout the episode. But of course his big one, like the big one is, I float like a butterfly, I sting like a bee. But the whole quote is, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. George thinks he will, but I know he won't.
I mean, it's kind of
like
corny.
He just busts that shit out.
I mean, corny. He was a poet.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there, dope. The women's panties fell off.
Exactly.
Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, they did.
I should be a postage stamp. That's the only way I'll ever get licked. Because like a lot of it, he just made up. Like someone would stick a mic in his face and he's just like, he just got out of the ring. I should be a postage stamp. That's the only way I'll ever be licked. And it's just
he's like the boxing's Martin Luther King.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like Martin Luther King wanted everybody to get along. And he's the same just in the boxing version.
Right.
You know, like he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
At a weigh-in, I forget who it's with, he looked at somebody and said, if they can make penicillin out of moldy bread, they can sure make something out of you.
Rodney King wanted everyone to get along. Martin Luther King had a dream, but
Rodney King had dreams.
Yeah. Rodney King had dreams
when he was fucking knocked unconscious. I'm trying to see if there's any other. I mean, I'm the greatest. Is this thing like I'm the greatest of all time? Like he would always say that, and sometimes he would say, "I'm not the greatest. I'm the double greatest."
Ooh, double like dog dare you.
Fuck you.
That's some 60s shit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
like
he's G-Goat. He's greatest.
Yeah, the greatest of all time. But I think some of the best quotes I'll weave into the dialogue, but just, you know, YouTube some of his shit talking and realize that shit's just flying off the cuff. And he's really fucking good at it. I mean, he would just say, I'm so pretty. I'm so pretty. Like, and he was a good looking guy. Like he's surprisingly good looking guy when he was young. But so Muhammad Ali, gift of gab, great boxer, arguably the greatest of all time. And of course you get into, you know, black barbershop discussions of, you know, who would win between Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson or between this guy and that guy. And you always want to compare them. But Muhammad Ali was pretty fucking good. And a lot of the times, like I read a couple of interviews with other big fighters who fought him, and they said that when they would like lock up together, he was just steady talking shit in their ear, like just hurtful fucking shit in their ear, pissing them off so that they would make mistakes. And they would say like, trust me, I trained for months and I knew not to get pissed off. And I would get in there and the shit he would say would piss you off so bad you would just lose your fucking cool.
He had that back and forth with the news anchor too, where he would
Howard
like,
Cosell.
Yeah, he would ask him some really fucking sketchy shit like, people say you're all washed up, that you don't have the speed anymore. You're not what you used to be. How do you feel about that? And he's like, you know what? He's like, I don't want to talk about it right here, but your wife called me 2 days ago and she said that you're not what you used to be 2 years ago. Like, just talk shit. And then the guy would just laugh. He like lifted up his toupee on the fucking, the interviews and
him
shit.
Him and Howard Cosell. And they had
would
like
go
a
at
weird
it,
relationship.
And then the cameras go off and they were buddies. Like they were laughing and shit. Yeah.
But so his childhood, he's born in, Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if I said
apparently we say that wrong. People really do say it that
Louisville.
Way.
Louisville. Yeah. I'm sure it's I'm still Louisville? Saying it wrong. It's
Louisville.
Louisville. Like, but it's not
Louisville.
It's not Louisville. That's definitely not how they pronounce it.
Come on.
But he was born on January 17th, 1942, and he was born, his name was Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., technically.
After his dad, who was named after a politician or something weird.
Yeah. Yeah, he was named after a 19th century Republican politician and abolitionist. So it's like pretty blackety black background. Right. Like, I mean, grandparents were slaves. He's named after, I mean, his father was named after someone who fought to end slavery. Like, I mean, born in Kentucky, you know, in the 40s, like living through the 50s and 60s, like fucking lynchings,
rough,
shit.
Rough time. Yeah.
Bad time to be black in Kentucky.
Drinking fountain times. Yeah. It was bad.
I'm going to say worst time to be black in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to upgrade that to not be a bad time to be black in Kentucky right now.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think maybe the 1800s would have been the worst time.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
I guess
100%.
I guess the worst time just lasted a really long time.
Yeah.
Like that's all.
100%
it never really changed.
The worst time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you weren't a slave anymore, but it was still the worst time.
Right. And then, so he was born in a slightly better time.
Slightly better than worst.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. A better than, smart I wouldn't bar. Even say slightly, a significantly better than
yeah.
worst,
yeah, yeah.
but bad time
yeah.
to be black in Kentucky.
Yeah.
His father was a sign and billboard painter. His mother did that's domestic a lost art. Help.
You know what I mean? Sign painting.
My buddy Mike art. Gamboa kills it. He prefers to try to paint the sign before
no, I know. Do vinyl. I would like to learn the
he
craft.
He hand-painted that yeah, Baco Skate Co. sign.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gone now.
Yeah.
But, man, I watched him do that. Like,
yeah.
They did some kind of stencil thing on there, but they straight-lined that with brushes. Yeah. It was impressive.
I just realized that the
Baco's... That sign right there is painted by Mike Gamboa, that taco sign. Yeah. Yeah.
I just realized that we're skipping ahead an episode, but that Baco Skate Co. logo is a riff on the East India.
It is. I remember when that came to fruition and Sid picked that actually. Yeah.
More on that later.
Later. As a preview.
That's right. But so he ends up becoming a Muslim, Nation of Islam, but he's born and raised Baptist.
That'll drive you to Muslim.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the difference between Methodist and Baptist. I don't know. Like, I always hear all that shit there. I'm Methodist. I'm Baptist. I don't know.
I honestly don't know the difference either. Yeah,
we sing more.
It's just a denomination. I mean, it's, you know, Catholic is a denomination.
I know they have like slightly different views. Or like,
it's not even that the views are different. It's how they worship is different.
Right.
Pretty much. It's kind of the
Baptist sings harder.
Yeah. Pentecostal. They're still Christians. They just worship different.
They just have long hair and AK-47s.
They do. Yeah. Right. They do. They live in Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
Right.
I think most Pentecostal women are really pretty. And I think it's because I don't prefer makeup. So you can actually see them. You know what I mean?
The other thing is if they're not wearing makeup and they look pretty,
then they're very pretty.
Yeah. You put makeup on them and I mean, it's like a supermodel. Like, yeah, exactly. You can change them into whatever you want. Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a good perm too and a long skirt. Long Levi's skirt and a good perm. Somebody call my mom.
I'm very straight hair.
I got a lady I need her to meet.
Very straight hair. Like those dogs with the long straight hair that you think is a woman before they turn around.
Right.
Those will turn me on. So do you see him in a convertible driving around, you know? Yeah.
It'll fool you at first. Yeah.
I turned into a horn dog.
If you're not careful. Away. Yeah, until they turn around and then you
until
can
they
see
turn around like it's a dog. You know what they say, when in Rome.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought that was a hot chick. It's a collie.
Chick,
a collie with a tight haircut.
I mean anal's anal. You know.
That's a new definition to you want a bone.
That really threw me off my game. Cassius was dyslexic,
mm-hmm.
Didn't do very well in school. He even recalls like looking back, it's like, I always wonder like when you're born in that area, in that era and you can't use a drinking fountain, you can't go through the front door, you can't whatever, you know, what impact does that have?
I've thought about that too. Someone. Like, is it like for like a young black child growing up at that time, when someone tells them they can't have that drinking fountain, is it a subservient thing in their mind? Like, oh, that's an adult? Or is it a complete segregation, like where it actually psychologically messes with them versus they know the white kid could drink out of the fountain?
Right.
It has to be that. I doubt it's just a respect.
In interviews
thing.
With him and his family members, they said it did fuck with them.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. I mean, if you think about you're at work and fucking so-and-so has that parking spot.
Right.
Well, why do they get the fucking handicap parking spots? Why do they get a fucking handicap parking spot in the front?
Exactly.
Special treatment. Everybody wants to be treated the same, but all of a sudden you want a special parking spot. You know what I mean?
It's actually easier for them because they can roll wherever they're going. They don't have to walk.
Yeah.
Christ.
I mean, I say you exercise your bum leg.
Yeah.
You park out a little farther, exercise your bum leg.
Yeah. I know people.
You know what I mean? It's basically therapy. For free.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Therapy. Physical therapy for free.
Right.
You know, parking a little
My wife's handicapped.
Away.
Like, she has a handicap thing, and I won't even let her park in the handicap thing.
No.
I'm like, no, there's real people that
He just
have a
uses it when he's by himself.
And never. I won't even let her use it when we can, except when we're at Disneyland and the fair.
Yeah.
We totally use that shit.
I have a weird thing. Like, a friend of mine had a handicap permit, et cetera, and he would park in handicap spaces. And then if there wasn't one, he would like complain,
right?
You know, because they were used or there wasn't one or whatever. Yeah. And like on more than one occasion, I would be like, why don't you just park in that meter?
Right.
Because you can park in any legal parking space with that placard.
Oh, right. Not get
like
a
you
ticket.
Could park in metered parking and just fucking leave your car there. You can't get a ticket
because right.
you're legally parked there.
I need one of those.
And he would be like, no, I'm not parking there. I need to park in a handicap spot. And I'm like, that thing is closer than the handicap spot. Yeah. Why don't you fucking park there?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, fuck that. They need to give me, they need more handicap spaces. These are all used. And I'm like, well, that spot right there is closer.
Entitlement.
Yeah. Entitlement. It is. Yeah. It is.
No.
My wheelchair is better than yours.
I would have used the fuck out of that thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at age 12, he gets his bike stolen. This is like
I was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Gets his bike stolen and then starts boxing.
Right.
Right. Now, how many weird little things like that in life cause people to do
the
things?
Chain of events?
Yeah. The chain of thing. Events that happen,
yeah. Yeah.
Like something as, you know, oh, I got my bike stolen. I'm gonna learn how to box.
Right.
To defend myself. Cause I want to get my bike back or something. Right. You know,
it's because he went to tell the cops and the cop was the boxing coach. That's why.
Right. Yeah.
Joe Martin. I know, but I'm just saying like, it's one of those things like that leads to like this thing happened. It was
changes,
a bad thing.
Changes history.
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just your life.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right.
It's something small.
So yeah, someone steals
my bike got stolen and I'm not Muhammad Ali.
Right. Gay porn. Exactly. It all works out. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
So someone steals his bike. The cops come. He basically says that he wants to find that guy and whoop him. And the cop says, you better learn how to fight before you start calling people out.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's good advice.
You know, exactly. And he's a boxing coach. So he says, you should come and box at my gym. And at first he doesn't even want to. He's like, nope. And he ends up seeing a TV show.
Was the cop black? Or
that I didn't find out.
Yeah, because that's kind of in this time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of an important thing. Yeah. Was it a white guy?
No,
he's going to a white gym.
I was just wondering the same thing.
Because you would think that a black wouldn't be able to go to a white gym.
Back then, yeah.
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 Man, Maddox started going back to jiu-jitsu and his hair is so long. Like, I mean, it's so long that I'm like, okay, bro, you got to cut a little bit. Like, it's crazy.
He's one of the girls.
He wears it in a ponytail, but with his gi, he looks like a samurai. To me,
he doesn't have a man.
To everyone else, he looks like a girl, right? Like, got
blue eyes, Kimberly, blonde hair. Kimberly, get over here.
So we went, and he's out on the mat, and it was time to roll. And there's this dad that has like he's got his all his rash guard and stuff on. And I was like, oh, he's also gonna roll in a bit. So he's like tough on his kid, like, hey, get over here. Like, I don't know what the kid's name was, say Johnny. And he's like, hey, take it. He tells Johnny, take it easy on her. And says, take it easy on her, right? And Maddox looked at me and shook his head. And I was like, hey, you chose a haircut, bro. And so they go slap, bump, lock up. And then it's like, bam, Maddox takedown, mount, or neon belly mount. Like, he gets the whole thing. And he's like, no, don't let her get it. Don't let her mount you. And then Maddox got an arm lock moving. And they're rolling around. And it goes back and forth. And Maddox just kept getting mount. And his dad was just shaking his head. And I was just like, I'm just going to let him think it's a girl.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said anything at that point.
Yeah. No, like, fuck that.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Poor kid probably got like whipped at home, didn't get dinner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, take it easy on her.
Yeah.
It was great.
Wow.
So Cassius ends up watching a TV show called Tomorrow's Champions, and it shows a bunch of amateur local boxers. And then he suddenly sees like some kids boxing, he suddenly takes an interest in it and then goes to the gym. And trains with this guy, but apparently just for a minute. And then he switches over to a guy named Fred Stoner, and starts doing a bunch of training. And he ends up even later in life saying that this Fred Stoner guy,
how funny that names come from origins like Baker, the last name Baker, your family was Baker. It's like Stoner, not Stoner, like smoking weed.
Right.
Like they used to throw rocks at women in the street. What happened?
No, they were probably like, they had a query or
like
something.
A mason. Yeah.
Stoner.
Like a stone query.
Right.
Query. That had questions about rocks.
Yes.
That's how you find out about rocks.
Right.
Yeah.
What's this? Rose quartz?
Yeah. You go to stoner.com.
Stone quarry.
Yeah.
It's a rock question.
Stonequery.com. Where you can find out about your rocks.
Get your rocks off.
Yeah.
Stonequery.com.
You know, in geology class in college, like one
that
of the,
sounds boring.
Ew, fuck yeah, it was. One of the tests.
I bet it rocked.
It
was probably really hard though. All right, continue.
You had to identify there was a whole thing of rocks and you had to identify
sedimentary, whatever. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, no, even like more specific than that, you had to like pick up a rock and say, this is chalk and this is rose quartz and this is whatever.
Equestria.
And one
chalk.
Of them, you
would
had,
be limestone.
Could, one of them you could only identify by taste.
Oh
it's like, it was,
was it yellow?
Swimming pool filter. Nice to be a pool guy. It's the one that sticks to your tongue.
I don't know because I never fucking put that nasty shit in my mouth.
Diatoms, yeah.
I don't know, there's one of them, and I'm in a class with 60 motherfuckers at a midterm, and they're all walking up and licking the fucking rocks.
Oh,
I'm
not, everyone licked the same rock?
Everybody licked a bunch like of rocks because they weren't sure.
It was like that wall that people kiss in Jerusalem or whatever.
Yeah.
It was the Blarney Stone, too.
Oh, the Blarney Stone, too, that people pee on and then they go kiss.
And licking your goddamn Jesus dirty rocks.
They put your balls through the wall.
What grade did you get? You sacrificed one grade?
I did fine, I'm sure.
You just guessed. It's 50-50, you know.
Well, you get, I mean, I got all the other ones right, so it's like that one must be the one I'm supposed
to
taste.
9 out of 10.
And you're old, too. I mean, this is before they had penicillin and stuff, so they didn't know, like, normal standards.
Yeah, I could have got the dinosaur flu.
Hygiene standards were much different in your childhood.
You'd ended up in the syphilis. You got bad blood.
That's right. I do have bad blood. That's what they would have told me.
We don't know what's wrong with you, but you have bad blood.
Yeah. So he ends up in his first amateur bout in 1954. He wins by split decision. In 1956, he goes into Golden Gloves, and he ends up winning 6 Golden Gloves titles, 2 Kentucky Golden Gloves titles, 2 National Golden Gloves titles, an Amateur Athletic Union National title. His amateur record up until this point is 100 wins and 5 losses. And that's pretty fucking remarkable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously the training that he got did wonders, but it's more than training at a certain point. Like, you're just fucking gifted. Like, you got it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you see that in any number of like fighting. It's like my sensei, Tom Headley in karate, like he just fucking had it.
Right.
Like it didn't.
Man, if
like,
his name was Bruce Headley, that'd have been so cool.
Bruce Headley. I would have had it changed. My name would be changed.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's, I mean, you see fighters who just fucking have it. It's like, that's not training. That's just some bizarre fucking.
They got the glow.
Kinesthetic. Exactly, dude. Yeah. I never realized my sensei had the glow.
He did.
Fuck. He just never busted it out on me.
You don't normally see white dudes with a glove.
No, that's hard. Yeah. It's hard to do. He does live off cottonwood.
Oh, there you go. That's why.
And he's lived there his entire life.
Yeah.
Like that's, that explains it. Maybe it's like having a Green Lantern ring.
Maybe
like you have to live in the ghetto to keep your glow.
Maybe it's because there's so glow in the water.
I mean, cottonwood's a great place. Yeah, we're not talking bad about cottonwood. That's a great place.
Fantastic. I spent a lot of time on cottonwood.
Yeah. Fantastic place.
Yeah. It doesn't get filtered out.
No.
They just get the big chunks like condoms and Q-tips and shit.
The water?
Soul glow goes right through. You drink enough of it, you got
You can't filter soul glow.
Yeah. No, no.
It doesn't filter.
There's not enough charcoal.
It's like antidepressants.
That should have clogged up your filters.
It doesn't come out.
You know antidepressants?
Yeah, I do. She's a sad bitch.
Yeah, she got a big ass. I told you guys no racist jokes before the episode.
So at the end of the day, like what all this says, like just to piggyback what Brad said, starting with the stolen bike, this is one of the reasons that I think people should steal things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what you're
going to Someone finds out they can run really fast.
Right.
And it might be the security guard, not the
guy. But I mean, I will say though, don't steal it from a person.
Yeah.
Because then you're stealing it from a poor black kid.
Yeah. I was at Smart and Final and I was super tempted to like take part in like taking this guy down. I was like, man, should I fuck with this or not? Like there was a guy that had like a bunch of beer in his basket and like, but he was getting produce and shit too. And one of the girls walked by, she's like, hey, we got a runner, Kevin. And he's like, where? Like red hat. And he looked over there and it was just like, all right, this dude does look shady. Like, why does he have broccoli and beer? What's going on here? Like he had like fake
items. You can't be a bum and try and live healthy.
Yes.
You know,
it was
insoluble fibers, soluble fibers.
I don't know what happened.
High in iron, vitamin C, broccoli's a wonder food.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
And it's actually beneficial to have some alcohol every day.
Yeah.
They recommend wine, but beer works too.
Beer's fine.
I'm sure he just had one. That's he was buying 48 of those. He was, he was planning
that lasts for a month.
He's going to
I mean, on the
pyramid.
Weekends, you might want two.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I didn't wait around long enough. I was like, man, if he runs out in the next 2 minutes, I'll sit here and idle for a second. Maybe I could just like jump out and drop kick his cart or something, but I didn't do it.
No. You just wanted to run.
You fucking hurt your knee.
I did almost get in a fight with another guy though. There was we heard like glass break. And some dude broke a 40 on the curb.
Where was this?
Right here in front of the shop.
Uh-huh.
Broke a 40 on the curb, just the top of it off. Mm-hmm. And then the last part,
just the tip. That's the Happy Gilmore.
Then he took the part that was left. It was like a cup, right? Mm-hmm. That open shard part, crushed it in his bare hands, kicked the car, walked around the corner. Thank God, not my car, but the car next to it, pulled it out. Middle of the day, sun's out, man's pissing. You only piss in the dark, you know what I mean? Like the sun is
not
out,
bums.
Sir. So he pulls it out and pees on a car. He's not a bum though. And then he just starts fucking sprinting and like over to here and over there. And like, he'd run up and then ask you for 50 cents and then fucking sprint away really hard.
But he wasn't a bum.
So I called. No, he had just gotten out of Lairdo. He was all fucking like drunk and methed out, like super crazy face right. tattoos. And like, he's all fucking with people at Dagny. Sounds so like I called the police. He's like, hey, backwards hat, this and that, fucking give him the description. And then I'm just kind of trying to keep an eye on where he's at. So if the cops do roll up, I can tell him. And then he runs up to me and I'm like, oh fuck, here we go. And he's like, yo, what's up, homie? And like tries to like shake my hand. I was like, I'm not shaking your hand. I just saw you holding your dick 2 seconds ago right here by this car. He's like, I didn't piss on a fucking car. I could go to prison for that. I just got out of Lairdo and starts going off all the shit. I was like, same difference. I'm not shaking your hand, dude. You need to calm the fuck down. Like, I don't know what you're doing. He's like, it's in God's hands if I go back to jail. He's like, I'm drunk as fuck right now. I was like, yeah, I can tell, dude. You need to chill the fuck out. But we were like a foot apart where I was just like on edge where I was like just waiting for this guy to do something. And then he fucking walked across the street and he's like, I'll fuck you and the cop. Up from across the street, he said that shit to me. But I was just like,
you get in my face. I don't want to touch anyone though.
I was thinking about I need some bum gloves. Like I need some cool like fucking black gloves like they have in the movies so they don't get hepatitis.
Right. Dude, you need the Michael Jackson glove, the fucking neoprene glove
or
the
sparkly.
No, the bum. They flipped him off to put the glove on.
Oh, that's right.
The traffic off.
Yeah, I need some. Yeah, what are those called? The ones that OJ had.
Those are leather driving gloves.
Yeah, that's what I need. Yeah.
But hold on, sir. Let me put my OJ gloves on.
They don't quite fit.
It's going to take a second.
The other thing is, if you have the gloves on already, you can take one off and slap them in the face to issue a challenge.
And, they could like bite your arm. Who fucking knows what that fool do?
Not if you just put him to sleep. Be over.
I know, but what if he gets down? Like if you don't get under his chin, what if he's been?
That's why you get under his chin.
Yeah,
you fucking Ryu. You know, fucking Ryu him.
Yeah. Tiger uppercut.
Ryuken.
Yeah.
Ryuken.
Yep. Ryu and Ken. You're he sang both flame. Their names. No one realized he sang both their names.
Yeah.
Not tricking us with your blonde hair and your headband. Yeah. You're the same guy. Same moves. Ryuken. And then you hide that in there? Nobody.
It's different. They say different things. They say different things.
Like house and homes.
Yeah. Not tricking anybody.
So in 1960, after this streak of success, he wins a spot on the U.S. Olympic boxing team, goes to Rome, and he's a big fucking guy. He's 6'3", and he's big enough that you don't expect him to be fast.
Right.
Like, that's one of the things that surprised everybody about Muhammad Ali is someone
who's a heavyweight.
He's buff, he's tall.
You think about Muhammad Ali. And immediately, I kind of had to look up what weight class he was in because you don't really think about
He looks lean. And,
him being in the heavyweight. You think he's you know him for being super fast.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not what you think about a heavyweight.
Right.
You know.
Even to date, I don't know if there's been anyone quite like that. Like Tyson's fast as fuck.
He's fast, but his punch, he doesn't sit there and fucking.
Yeah, that dude, you know, there was a video. I watched a highlight video of like the top 10.
You know what I mean? Like his punches are fast, but he's not fucking.
His feet are shuffling, like doing that fucking crazy dancing he's doing. And then he punches the dude like 6 times in like fucking 2 seconds.
He's like a card wiffle. Like, you know, fucking.
And it's like, and even
and they
the
land.
Even it's little the road things runner. Like the, he would get you like, he'd fucking hypnotize people with his feet. He'd like be doing crazy shuffles.
They're
looking
at his feet.
He'd like dip a hand down and like force you to look at his feet. And then as soon as you looked at his feet, like he would time his punch to be like at the perfect moment between the foot hops to like totally fucking take advantage of it. And he would just fucking clobber people.
Yeah.
Like he was.
Yeah. I watched a breakdown of the Liston two, like some guy just like giving the breakdown of how his strategy was. And I was like, God, that is crazy how much thought goes into that. But there's,
I mean,
so
they call boxing the sweet science, and this is like, he's the master.
He
of
was
it.
Talking about like, keeping, Liston at distance and backing off, but then he would back off, crouch and like punch left to right, but then step the opposite way you should step when throwing every punch to like completely confuse him to be able to exit and then circle.
Right.
And it was like, holy shit. He did it for, and then they're like, then Liston figures out the strategy and starts to step left and be able to cut off his exit. It and then lifted his like posture, and you're like, God, dude, they have. I never think about what's really going on when they're circling.
You're reading their whole fucking body. It's like every single fucking twitch of a muscle is a tell or a fake tell.
Yeah. And it just has to be like second nature. Like you just have to be able to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, that's why a lot of people, like, you know, if you're putting money on like who's the greatest of all time and it's like, oh, it's Tyson. Oh, it's Ali, whatever. It's like, I don't know
it's
that
more
Tyson
about,
had that subtlety and that level of tactical ability. He was just a fucking gorilla that would knock your fucking block.
I don't know, dude. That Tyson was like,
Tyson was good.
He would dip to the ground and and come back with the uppercut.
Oh, he had mad skills, yeah. But
I think if it's more of an opinion on who you enjoyed watching.
Sure.
Or like if you went back and looked, like, obviously I grew up with Tyson.
Right.
I enjoy Tyson, and I'll probably like that style of fighting over right. Muhammad Ali. I can appreciate what Muhammad Ali does mm-hmm. and the path that it brung for other fighters.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I think, I don't know though, because you see guys like Manny Pacquiao who are fun to watch. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? They're quick, and he's a smaller guy, obviously. You know what I right. mean? That's a lower weight class, but they're fun to watch. Right. You know what I mean? So
and
seeing
a lower
that,
weight class is kind of like Sugar Ray Leonard when I was a kid. Like yeah. he was fucking great to watch. He was just yeah. so, and he was really charismatic and funny. Right. And not like
spinning his arm in the yeah. air and shit.
Normal. I can only imagine what it was like to watch him live or when it was happening, and you'd never yeah. seen anything like it before, because normal heavyweights would have just been leaning on each mm-hmm. other, and you're thinking those weighted hits, you know, like, and they're just kind of not moving as much. Right. But then when you see Muhammad Ali get in though, there and fucking
watch his highlight knockout reels, he's just beating up a bunch of fat dad bods. Like a bunch of dudes are like, how yeah. old is that fucking guy? He's like, that guy looks like he's 40 and sloppy.
Yeah, but then
he's
and still, they might be.
But then
know?
There's listed and shit that's like straight
Joe
out of
Frazier
prison.
And yeah. fuck, I mean, he's still fighting legit motherfuckers. Yeah.
I mean, that's how you get into the 100, 100 wins.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean, it's just you're fighting yeah.
you're
all
gonna
fucking yeah. oncomers.
You're going to start with Glass Joe before you get yeah. to Mike Tyson. Like right. you got to play all the levels.
I mean, now, and you got to think too, now it's different as far as like boxing goes, because it's for one, there's not as many boxers. There probably was a shit ton more boxers
oh, yeah.
back then.
Yeah.
Now boxing has kind of fell off, you know, right. fell to the wayside. People have ruined it with the fucking fake
fixed
fights
and
shit,
yeah,
right. all that
right.
shit. And, you know, so
well, apparently that
now
was
Don King kind of ruined it.
Yeah.
Too.
He was a major factor for right. sure.
He made a fucking bubble that burst.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Housing
yeah,
bubble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was wondering if he was influenced by Ali in his like speech patterns and the things he does, because he talked like that too.
But it's kind of churchy too.
Yeah,
I mean, you
is.
Know, depending on what it church is. You go to, your pastor mm-hmm. probably talked like
yeah.
that. He just wasn't saying your mama jokes.
Right.
They're
yeah.
both
you know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
yeah.
Baptist gone boxing.
Yeah.
yeah.
So he goes to Rome. He fights Zbigniew
yeah.
Petrovsky.
Mm-hmm. Sounds
pretty
like
sure
a white
that's
dude.
How you would say it actually.
White.
The Petrovsky part. I don't know about that first name. From Poland, and he wins the light heavyweight gold medal.
Did you say white heavyweight gold medal?
Light.
Oh, okay.
From a pole. And
from a pole.
I'm Polish. I get to say that.
Is that a bad word? Like, is it like?
I don't know.
Pole. Calling a pole.
A pole. I think that's probably derogatory for sure.
You think so.
Yeah. We just lost our entire
so.
Polish audience.
God
Dave.
Damn it.
There they go.
Fucking.
My mom was German Polish though. I grew up eating
Polish.
Pierogis.
Yeah, Polish dog eating okay. motherfuckers. Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, they're back. Yeah. No, I didn't say anything.
They don't know any better anyway. They didn't even notice.
The Polish
gone.
People.
They're busy trying to screw in light bulbs.
Oh yeah. they're like they're just all walking into a bar at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
That all Polish people do is walk into bars.
Yeah, I'm screwing.
It's actually
bulbs.
One of my mom's like favorite just all time running jokes is like whenever she was having trouble doing something. She would say, how many Polacks does it take to, it was like,
yeah.
she couldn't get the gas cap off of, and she was,
I wonder
she,
who
how many,
started that. Like,
yeah,
what
exactly.
was the thing?
Like, but I know what the fuck.
That, yeah. How many white people,
Russians,
it,
like,
yeah. how many white people does it take to make a latte?
Right.
You know, like we need more white people jokes.
Right,
like
yeah.
that.
Just one. Just and like, his name's Tristan.
Yeah. yeah. Tristan. Yeah. He has a man bun. And he got into work at 4 a.m. this morning to open yeah. up Starbucks for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
He's flamboyant and speaks with a lisp. I'm just saying.
He has one earring.
Oh.
So he comes back to the States and then he can begin his professional career. Because typically, and I don't know if these rules change because I kind of fudge rules to get professional athletes in the Olympics now to boost ratings.
Right.
But the pure Olympic thing was if you ever went professional, if you ever made money in your sport, you could not go to the Olympics.
Yeah, that doesn't work now because basketball players are in the
and
Olympics.
I don't know if it's just for basketball players
nope,
or
not.
If that's for everybody.
It's not.
So there's, if you were a professional boxer, you could still show up and go to the Olympics.
I wonder why that was. Exactly. What was the incentive behind that you wouldn't receive like special training because of your funding? Because rich people would get a better chance at training because they made money and they had, you know,
probably,
yeah, better facilities, yeah. Better.
I mean,
it, I think the Olympics used to be an amateur, like it was like the best in the world amateur. Like if, right. Because people would right. have a day job and yeah. then they would go and train, right. but it was like what country.
They should do that with politicians, if you're, politicians rich, too. Just whatever you have in your pockets, your campaign yeah. fund.
If you're rich, you're going to get like the Rocky Drago montage. And right. it's like, yeah. you know,
that didn't work out though.
Cassius Clay is training by fucking dragging like tires through the snow.
Wagon.
And Drago is like getting computerized fucking robot shit.
He's got the treadmill on 15 tilt and fucking getting yeah, steroids exactly, right in his fucking butt exactly. the whole time.
Yeah.
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 So I still dig it. I mean, I think it's a good
you
rule.
Riding a tricycle versus Lance Armstrong.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
And I even recall the first time they brought together the quote unquote dream team of basketball for the Olympics. And I remember one of the big calls for it was that people thought it was bullshit that we were always losing in basketball in the Olympics.
And so everybody
was
athletes.
Like, this doesn't represent our country.
No.
Right.
Like this represents our,
we have Michael,
like this is our
Jordan.
Exactly. Like our college players are going yeah. to play the other countries, and we have literally the best basketball players in the fucking world yeah. by a degree that's unmeasurable.
I think this is
and
what
they
happened,
can't
though.
Go to the Olympics.
I think this is what happened though. So when they started doing that, they started saying, well, if you're originally from this country, or if you wanted to represent, you know, your home country as a professional athlete, you could do that. Hockey players do that now.
Mm-hmm.
So you have hockey players going and playing for Canada.
What brings up a good point.
You know what I mean?
Point,
right? So they play in the NHL or they play in the NBA right. or whatever right. here, but they can go represent. So they're professionals by all means.
Right.
They can go represent their home country.
I but see. It also
baseball, same thing. Like, or you know what I mean? Like right. that would be the right. same way, you know?
It so. Brings up the variable of like, because of the monetary incentive, someone in the United States, a team can pay someone from Poland or something to come over. And now they're United States representing right. and they got paid. If yeah. not, that Poland guy is probably not going to take off over the United States on his own dime, come represent the United States right. because he just loves yeah. America. He did right. it because it was incentive. So it stops the recruitment aspect yeah. of you being yeah. able to pull people from other countries.
But it goes the other way now right. though. So that I think it's fair. I mean, because if you get somebody from, I mean, you have what's his name, Yao Ming or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
the basketball player from China,
yeah. mm-hmm.
You know, so he can go back and represent China
right.
and play against other American, you right. know, players, you know,
yeah.
so yeah.
yeah.
So he ends up coming back and then he can start his professional career. And did you guys see the thing about it turns out it's not true, but did you see the gold medal?
It's not
story?
The tumor.
Yeah.
So
I was like, man, people would have been dredging that fucking lake trying to find that.
Yeah, they would. So the story was that,
what was it? I was stuck on. It's not the tumor.
No, sorry. He said that after he got back from the Olympics, he threw his gold medal into the Ohio River. After they were refused service at a whites only restaurant.
The thing is, that medal is somewhere though. Because
yeah,
he
yeah.
did lose it.
Yeah, somebody it turns out it. He just lost
somebody
it.
Found, so it's like in someone's it. Attic yeah. or it got in a landfill some way. Like if
yeah.
that's
somebody
every,
found
yeah,
it. He left it
you
somewhere.
Lose is fucking
he got
somewhere
drunk and left it
you.
In a bar.
And one of his
and you know who found it? A fucking Polack.
One yeah. of it probably. One of his closest friends, a guy named Boudini Brown, told
the first
Sports Illustrated
Boudini
Brown. Exactly.
he would regularly escape from white people. That's what he did. Yeah. Oh, you got me in cuffs, copper, huh?
You yeah. make your car keys disappear.
Yeah.
We were doing so good.
No, we weren't. We weren't doing good. Since the beginning of the episode,
after a 10-minute Polish riff.
fuck it.
It seems like
we're going down a flames.
No, there was before that. Just go back and listen, because I was like, I told the guys, I'm gonna put it out there. I said, hey, let's, you know, we've seen some things, we're gonna calm down on the racist comments, even though it's sarcastic and playful. And right. sure enough, this episode has started off with a bang.
Yeah,
you know, I like
extra
it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me that started it, so
that's right. So anyway, this is him, not
was
me.
Brent.
Boudini Brown later at Sports Illustrated talked about the fact that was a bullshit story and that he and Ollie used to laugh about it. And his quote in the article was, "Honky's sure bought into that one."
Oh, because they went swimming for it. Huh?
Like, yeah. So
that's
he thought,
funny.
Like, he thought the whole thing was fucking funny. But then when Ali lit the torch in the 1996 games in Atlanta, they gave him a replacement medal.
It says not redeemable for cash on the back of the, it's like not for resale.
Yeah.
Can't pawn this one, Ollie.
Came in a 12 pack.
Yeah. This isn't going to fix your Parkinson's.
He gets into his fighting, and his first big match after he's done stuff, he wins. He takes out various people. He's been fighting for 4 years professionally, and he gets a fight with Sonny Liston, the heavyweight champion of the world. And Sonny Liston is a fucking sketchy character. He's straight out of prison. He's got fucking British mob ties. Like a fucking dangerous dude that no one really wants to fuck with. And I even read some people say,
and hello, that, this is boxing.
Yeah. You know? But a lot of people said that a lot of people didn't want to fight Sonny Liston because they were afraid of what would happen if they won.
Right.
Like, yeah. Because they didn't know what Liston's crew was going to do.
And it seems like he might've been cheating, but
yeah,
I don't know that it was proven.
I think maybe if you beat him fair and square, even though he's cheating, then he's like, all right, much respect.
But not his folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
they lost money.
Like, they lost money. Like,
oh yeah,
fucking money on that shit. Yeah. So, but again, leading up to it, and this is one of the first times that he really started to become famous for it. He started during all the pre-flight hype, calling Liston the big ugly bear. Said Liston even smells like a bear.
Ooh.
He said, after I beat him, I'm going to donate him to the zoo.
Oh,
like,
shit.
And you got to figure in 64 on live TV, that's going to fucking piss you off.
Oh yeah. Like, that's going to rile you up.
Yeah.
My next confrontation, and it will happen, I'm going to call someone a big ugly bear. Like, you even smell like a bear. You look like a bear.
I'm going to donate you to the zoo.
Yeah. But you got to, it's all about the delivery.
Yeah.
Because when you watch him say it, it's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Like, his delivery, his cadence, like, it's just amazing.
Will Smith did a pretty good job, too.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah, we used to go to the theater and watch Lord of the Rings every year when it came out. And then when there was no more of those, it was Ollie on Christmas. And so that's the first time I watched that.
I've never watched the movie.
It's a good movie. He does a good job.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't mind Will Smith. I just, there's like movies that I like see. I'm like, oh, it's Will Smith. And I'm like,
you can't get the Fresh Prince out of your head.
No, not even that. I just can't get into watching it. Like, what's the one movie where it's kind of like, I don't know. There's like, it's not a superhero movie, but he's a cop. Blight or what is it?
I never saw that one. I know what you're talking about. But I never saw
forget
that
the name of
oh,
it.
Oh, that one's cool. I like that movie.
No, I understand.
I was hoping
and I've heard it's good. And I
have
was
you
like,
not watched it?
No, I haven't watched it.
Dude, you would think it's the one where there's like orcs and shit, but they're cops.
Yeah, yeah.
What in the fuck?
Yeah, his partner is like an orc or something
it's
like
super,
that. Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I'm going to watch that again.
Yeah, and saw it, but I just, it's been there and I looked at it and I'm like, I heard this was a good movie. Go to the next. Like, I can't.
I mean, Russian Doll. That was pretty good, just for the record, throwing that out there.
Ali is one of those, like, classic biopics where it's like you get an actor who isn't necessarily known to be an amazing actor, and it's a passion project. Like, same thing with fucking with Ray. Like with the Ray Charles movie, it's like no one would have thought Jamie Foxx could fucking nail it, that he can act that well, that he's going to dig that deep. But it's like, these are passion projects for these people who love these people. And it's like, you see him shine. Like, I don't think Will Smith will ever do a better performance.
Dude, I watched Jamie Foxx in Ali. Had that like shaved head bald spot, the weirdest looking thing. We're like, damn, this looks like they straight put clippers in the fucking middle of his head. And I was like, why did they do that? Why did they make that choice? Like, what? And then I fucking saw when I started watching the documentaries and shit.
That was
I was
guy.
Like, that fucking guy looks like clippers shaved in the middle of the head. It was just
that was really him.
Just pattern balding. Yeah, it was weird.
So motherfucker Jones was in Ali.
Yeah. So he ends up taking Liston out. He cuts him over the eye in the third round, and it's the first time Liston's ever been cut. At the end of round four, he starts to, like, Ali tells his cut man he wants to call the match because his eyes are stinging so bad that he can't even see.
Oh, Liston did?
No, Ali does.
Ali. Oh,
allegedly, okay. Liston's corner may have put something on his gloves, but they said, oh, no, it's the shit we put in his cut, and it just happened to get on Ali's eyes.
Right.
Like medicine.
But his cut man refuses and says, get your ass back out there for round five. Yeah. But it also turns out that multiple boxers, like, after the fact, once Liston lost his title, came out and said, no, the same fucking shit happened to us. We didn't want to say anything because he's fucking with the mob.
And then that dude's a sad story. Like, the follow-up on Liston is, like, he did some, like, whatever fights for the mob here and there, faded away, and then died from fucking like drug overdose or something. Yeah,
that's rough. So he ends up beating Liston. He wins the heavyweight championship.
Man, that is sad. I'm thinking about, for every great story we tell, there was a second place person that didn't quite pull it off.
Well, I mean, for every great story, I mean, at the end of the day, you read about all these dope fights and eventually Ali starts losing.
Yeah.
Like every great boxer. Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes they just step out
of your prime.
Sometimes boxers will just retain those titles and they'll say, you know what? it's done. Right. Take the titles back. I'm out. Like, right. Cause they want to quit, you know?
Yeah. You got to get out
while sometime. I have all the belts, like, fuck it. I'm
quit
done.
While you're ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, and then I didn't see the fight. I ran out of time, but there, with the Liston rematch, there's allegedly a big controversy about a phantom punch.
I watched it several times.
Did you?
It's because the punch is behind his head, like from the camera perspective. And then Muhammad Ali like responded to it. Like he said, no, like he punched me this and that. But then I think Liston was quoted to saying that he took a dive. The punch does look pretty.
Because here's the thing.
Pretty whatever.
People on both sides think it was a fix. Like some people think it was a fix that the British mob orchestrated. Some people think it was a fix that the Nation of Islam orchestrated. Right. That the Nation of Islam threatened Liston and fucking made him take a dive or some bad shit was going to happen. And again, Sports Illustrated a couple of years later, Liston said, that guy was crazy. I didn't want anything to do with him. And the Muslims were coming up. Who needed that? So I went down. I wasn't hit.
Yeah.
That was a direct quote from Liston.
Yeah. When you look at it, I mean, but there's been weird hits. It's just right on the spot, you know?
So yeah, it's that Steven Seagal kick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It looks like the toes brush them and they're knocked out, you know, like
that's real, bro.
Yeah.
Keto is a real thing.
1971, he fights, and there's a bunch of fights in the middle, but another big, huge one is him and Joe Frazier. 1971, what they called the fight of the century at Madison Square Garden. And this got into like some racial issues because Ali was saying that Frazier, like he was basically saying that he was like this tool of the white establishment and all he did was make money for white people and he didn't represent the ghetto anymore. So even like, you know, it was a fight that was building hype anyway, but even in the black neighborhoods, like there was like
blacks
this huge,
were
they were like fucking, they were fucking fired up about it. Plus, according to Ali, Frazier was too ugly to be champ. Frazier was too dumb to be champ. And Frazier was an Uncle Tom. So those were the zings that he threw at him. So this one went 14 rounds. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. The craziest bare knuckle boxing match ever was like 350 rounds.
Though. Yeah.
It lasts like four days. Dude.
350 rounds.
Yeah, it's like two little white boy farmers in a fucking barn like Brad Pitt on fucking Snatch.
Jesus
like,
Christ. That's just overboard.
So it ends up going down to a decision and, Frazier wins it. But again, Ali doesn't care. He keeps going. So he fights him again. He fights Frazier in 1975 in what they call the Thrilla in Manila, in the Philippines. And again, this one almost went the distance, but this time Frazier's trainer throws in the towel in the 14th round. So, Ali wins that one. But the big one, and this is a big part of the Ali movie. And from the stuff that I read on it, the movie does a pretty good portrayal of it. And it's the Rumble in the Jungle.
Right.
So this is when Don
Those
King
are all sex
starts
moves
to
too.
Get
Thrill of Manila, Rumble in the Jungle.
What's the Rumble in the Jungle?
Rumble in the Jungle. That's probably just where you're holding back diarrhea, and when they when they get to your pubes, they can hear it just grumbling through. Yeah. What's the Thrill in Manila? I think that's where you come in a white glove and then mail it to your friend in a Manila envelope. <It's a> I'll give that to me myself.
Oh man. That was real. I just like the whole, it wasn't just a setup, like the whole scene played out in my mind.
Yeah.
Like
you visualize me coming in a gloves.
Part of it, but then the mailing, the friend getting the package. Yeah. Huh. I wonder what this might be. Opening the package, discovering the glove.
It'd be good if there's like a card on it, like a birthday card that has a little music playing thing for 30 seconds. It's all Thriller. It starts playing all 8-bit. Yeah. He's like, what is this? And then the card just says, I came in this glove, you know? So he's like, God damn it.
Well, I don't think you need anything else. Once the Thriller music starts playing, you know you got Manila.
Well, now you know, all you people out there, if you open an envelope and it's got a Thriller card in there.
So be careful if you win a hot sack.
With a stiff white glove.
Yeah, you know who's mailing them out.
Yeah, exactly. If your hot sack comes in a Manila envelope, I'm just going to go buy Manila envelopes now.
If Thriller starts playing.
What
first.
You should do is get white gloves and manila envelopes and send them with them. Yeah, so people have the option.
Yeah. All future prizes are.
I mean, even women can use them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they can just moisten the glove.
Yeah,
moisten. I'm gonna have kids everywhere. Moistenite.
So
it's a fake diamond.
This one ends up, it's a fight that's in Zaire. It's one of the, it's a big one that's done by Don King. I didn't realize that fucking pay-per-view was already happening this early.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been
how'd they even regulate
time?
That?
I have no
fucking idea. We're not going to twist your two wires together if you don't give us 30
bucks. You were watching wrestling at that time? What year is that?
Fucking 74.
Oh.
There's a cable guy that's just running down the street hooking up wires and shit.
I wonder. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how that shit would have worked.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Anyway.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Foreman, we didn't even have like a jukebox, the fucking music channel and all that shit. Remember that? Where you could like play a song.
Right.
Like if you called in, but it would play at one central location on that channel for everyone would see it, but you paid for like Boys to Men to come back on. You know what I mean?
ABC, BBD.
Yeah. I don't know.
East Coast family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and this fight was where I like watching this fight and realizing what happened when I was young was what made me go, oh shit, there's a lot more to boxing than just two motherfuckers punching each other until one of them gets knocked out.
Yeah. This was methodical.
This was fucking methodical and insane. And even everybody in Ali's ring was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is the worst idea ever.
Well, it was a gamble too. Cause Foreman hits like a fucking train.
Foreman's a monster. Yeah. Like, I mean, he didn't come back to fight fucking 15 years after this and win the championship for no fucking reason. Like the guy,
as
fucking,
an old man.
Yeah, exactly.
When you see him hit heavy bags, it's like, bending in half. Yeah.
But he didn't make a grill for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Know, exactly.
That could have been the Hulk Hogan grill.
Could have been the Hulk Hogan grill. Yeah.
So he does what they call the rope-a-dope. And the plan is this. He gets in the ring.
That's what the right arm's doing this and the left arm punches you.
Well, no, he just fucking.
He lets the guy
tucks
gas
in.
Out.
And gets the shit beat out of him on purpose. He just leans up against the rope so he doesn't get knocked down.
Gotcha.
And he throws some punches just to keep him
just to get him going.
It's like if he turtled up and just let someone work really fucking hard until you can.
I do that all the time. Yeah.
But doing it round after round with George fucking Foreman is not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know?
You could dislocate your elbow or break your fucking arm just because he's bouncing off your forearms and your biceps and shit while you're trying to block that. But it still can't be any fun.
And so he ends up, and again, there was like
one of his quotes is there are no pleasures in a fight, but some of my fights have been a pleasure to win.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, that goes along. I mean, that's what this thinking, you know, he didn't like training, but he knew that if he had to train to become a champion.
Right.
You know, so.
And a lot of people thought the fight had to be fixed because they were like, how come he's down? Yeah. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Like he waited for the eighth round.
Right. Yeah. And then like Ali was just talking shit the whole fucking time. And then George Foreman, again, years later, said, quote, I thought Ali was just one more knockout victim until about the seventh round. I hit him hard to the jaw and he held me and whispered in my ear, that all you got, George?
Yeah.
I realized this ain't what I thought it was.
Impressive.
So 7 rounds of him not even punching back and you hit him as hard as you can in the jaw. He locks up with you and whispers that in your fucking ear.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God.
What take the stick, fuck? George.
Exactly, dude. Yeah. So...
that'd fuck with your head.
Fuck
you
know, yeah.
Now you're tired.
Yeah,
you're beating the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
Putting your all into it and you're fucking tired.
Yeah, that really
you hit
was
this
all
guy
you
fucking
got.
Hard.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that really was
that
all
was
you got.
Everything you had and it didn't work out.
And then Ali comes back and fucking wins the fight. He starts to get like, Ali starts to counter more frequently. He starts to punch more and get his fucking fast ass hands in there. The crowd goes crazy. The crowd was already fully behind Ali.
He could have been on Charlie horse out though. And his arms.
They were I was going to say kind of Mayweather does that now. Like, he's a defensive fighter.
Right.
He just hangs back and lets them work. And then then he starts fucking, once they start getting tired, he starts getting the jabs points in.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
but this was like the first time.
Yeah.
On a
he sets a stage
scale.
For.
Yeah.
People to learn from, you know, like they say, hey, that fucking worked.
And everybody in the country was screaming Ali Boumaye everywhere he went while he was training, which meant Ali kill him because they all wanted him instead of Foreman.
Wow.
And again, I think it was because it's of his pro-African, pro-black Nation of Islam. Like, I think they just liked him better. But so in the eighth round, Ali fucking drops him with a combination in the ring. Foreman doesn't get back up. Yeah. Everybody's like, that was fixed. There's no fucking way. And then as he's walking out of the ring, he says, I've done something new for this fight. I done wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale, handcuffed lightning, thrown thunder in jail. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
Like, did he practice that for like fucking an hour before the fight in the mirror?
He was a poet. Like, it was one of those things. Like, if he didn't become a boxer,
right,
he'd have been Terry McGee writing poems.
Right. He actually did release a spoken word poetry album.
Yeah,
and he sang for a little while, like a short stint, right? Didn't he go do like some music?
He did a
stuff?
Broadway show, yeah. So he ends up winning that fight, does some dope fights with Leon Spinks, Larry Holmes, like all the fucking big hitters at the time. And throughout all this in the background, he ends up, you know, joining the Nation of Islam. And in 1962, well before these fights, he ended up meeting Malcolm X, and Malcolm X becomes his mentor, even before the Liston fight. And he starts to travel with an entourage with him, a Nation of Islam entourage, all the time. And only a very short amount of time, a couple of weeks or a couple of months after he met Malcolm X and joined the Nation of Islam, is when there was the rift with Malcolm and the Nation. And if you don't know much about it, go back and listen to our Malcolm X episode as we talk about it. But at first, even though he was a member of the Nation of Islam, they don't believe in boxing and violent sport.
Right.
So they wouldn't publicly endorse him. But once he won the championship against Liston, Elijah Muhammad came out on a radio address and said, nope, he's in the Nation of Islam. Like, we got his back. He moves to the south side of Chicago. I heard he was moving on up to the south side, and he got a deluxe apartment in the Skaha High. Because he was moving on up.
Remember I told you they had the door to the Jefferson's apartment at Woolworths for like a couple months. It was downstairs.
How much was
leaning against the wall. It was like $150, I think.
Here in town?
In town.
Really? Oh, wow. Nobody bought it? Woolworths.
Somebody bought it.
I almost bought that. Someone did buy it. It was down there. I was like, what am I going to do with that if I buy that? That'll lean in the
corner.
Put
it on the door of the studio?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it was before that. Maybe my timeline's off. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have done that. We could have put it on the stone room or something. But
no, just when you walk into the basement.
It was skinny. Right, it was like not quite.
We can make it fit.
Yeah, we could.
I'm a carpenter.
Yeah.
I work with wood.
That's right. Yeah, you do. The other big thing that
hardwoods
happens to him. Yeah, you do. In the 1960s is he gets drafted to go to Vietnam and he refuses to go.
You know, and it's one of those things like we've talked about a lot of characters and some of them run from service. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't. Mm-hmm. Some of them serve.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to have a lot more respect for the ones who go. You know what I mean? Like at the time, like I can only imagine, you know, the Cold War was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, fucking
yeah.
You
but they were drafting
really
him just to try to keep him down and take him out of his like position.
I mean,
of
were
power.
They?
Yeah,
I don't know.
So they killed Martin Luther King. They killed Malcolm X, and they tried to make him.
They
go
didn't
to the
draft
war.
Martin Luther King though. I mean,
no, they just straight killed him. But
well, the thing is though,
I mean, you're saying that you don't really know.
You know the powers.
He was actually at this point. At this point, he was a Muslim minister who like led sessions, etc.
Right,
and he basically said like, "Look, I'm a minister. I'm a pacifist. I'm not going to go to war." And they were like, and they wouldn't give him.
No, you get a lot of fights.
Yeah, but it's not really.
Status.
Yeah, but it doesn't really.
I'm a professional fighting.
Sense. Yeah.
Pacifist. That's,
yeah, that's. Yeah, they're like, no, he was a boxer.
Well, there's a difference between a boxer and shooting people in the face.
I guess.
Not
yeah.
really.
You know? But, and again, I mean, aside from that, I mean, that was the reason that he put forward. But I mean, in a lot of interviews and so forth, he was like, I'm not going to fight the fucking white man's war against an oppressed people in an oppressed nation when I'm an oppressed person.
Yeah, it was. There was some crazy quote where they're trying to make the white man's trying to make a black man go shoot brown people or some crazy thing like that. He's like, I got no problem with those people. He's like, they're not the ones calling me the N-word. They're not the ones that he's like, how am I going to go support you to go kill some people I have no issues with when you won't even support me here for what
and
I'm doing?
And that's the other problem is too, like we get, I'm not saying he's wrong or right. I'm just saying like, people live in America and hate America. Don't fucking live here. Like, you know what I mean? Like I don't know. Like if you're so in support of those people, move there, help them.
Well, that's easy. Know? That's easier to say now than it is a fucking black man
that.
In the 60s.
I understand that. You know? I understand that. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying like the point, you know what I mean? Like right. you're saying all this big talk, but yet you're not fucking doing anything. You know, you're not helping. You're not, right. you're not saying, no, I'm not going to fight here. So I mean, I'm going to go over there and help them out. No, you're not doing that because right. you're not going to leave your life. So it's kind of bullshit, in my opinion. Not saying it is right. or it isn't. I don't know.
No, I can.
But in my opinion, that's how I view it. Bullshit. Like, it's an excuse.
When you deal with Vietnam, to me, all fucking cards are off the table because that war was a fucking cluster fucking.
Yeah. Joke no, I understand. Yeah. And no, what we know like, now, you, right. they didn't know back then. You know
Maybe
what I mean? What
bit.
We know now.
No, I think they knew.
No, because
then.
Every war, you have people saying, "No, peace, don't fight." You know, right. like those people didn't do anything or this or that, and a lot of it that is true. You know what I mean? Our
he
government does some
known,
fucking horrid
like,
shit
in his soul that like I am Muhammad Ali, I'm important, like I'm more effective here doing
and maybe,
this, and I'm just gonna go die over there.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? I mean, they robbed us of 3 years. I think, what would have happened during his prime right, had he not gotten drafted and get in trouble and had to go through all the appeal system, like and been able to actually box through that, you know what right. I mean? And it still didn't even take the wind out of his sails. He still came back and whooped ass.
The other thing that makes the whole thing ridiculous to me is he was so fucking famous and all this shit, just like fucking Elvis. It's not like they were gonna send him off to war.
Yeah.
He wasn't gonna get drafted and they were gonna give him a rifle and have him go get shot. He was. He would have been doing
accident,
fucking.
Though.
He would have been doing army military, boxing exhibitions and fucking
or
drumming
speaking,
up,
speaking
yeah,
and stuff.
Exactly.
It's encouraging and yeah. And I, like I said, I understand both sides of it. Like he grew up in a shitty time where he was getting hated on,
right?
You know. But then on the other side of it, and you could say, well, Brad, you don't know because you're white. You don't understand. But on that end of it, you know, it's okay for someone to turn around and say, okay, well. Since everybody hated on me, I'm going to hate on them. You
right.
know? And I don't think that's the way to look at it. I understand from his point of view, probably at that time.
Well, also fucking, keep in mind, know, Nation of Islam.
Yeah, no.
Like he's
understand,
not fucking,
understandable.
Like
yeah.
he's going to like.
He's going to stand his ground
the
because
people,
he has to.
The people
yeah.
whispering in his ear are some fucking down with whitey, fuck the, you know, fuck the
yeah.
system.
Yeah.
Like Nation of Islam
yeah.
is pretty fucking
So he's
got to
stand up
so,
for what
yeah.
he's yeah. dealing with, you know, but I don't know.
So the other thing, and again, this is why I wish I had a time machine, because on December 2nd in 1969, the play Buck White opened in Broadway, and he was one of the stars of the show, and he sang. It was a musical.
No film of it, huh?
No, I don't think so.
Man.
It was only open for 4 nights.
It's even sad that half his fights are in some grainy-ass black and white. There's no way to be like, hey, let's remaster that. Maybe one day
he got decent reviews. They said his singing voice was surprisingly good. Like, I just want to go back and see that fucking play.
Right.
But, I can't remember what it was about. It was about a militant black lecturer.
Right.
And that's who he played. And then because of all this, like the court ends up ruling in his favor. He gets to box again after his 3-year hiatus. But in the midst of all this, he gets looped in to, I don't know if we looked into this at all. Operation Minaret.
I don't think we did. I saw it came into the COINTELPRO thing, but
oh, is there?
Yeah, I just found it's like super old, like really like 70s out. Like
wow, he looks like a cartoon caveman.
Yeah, it's him though. Like it's
God damn.
Yep. He does look like Chaka.
Up there. Fuck Whitey.
Fuck you, Chaka.
Fuck you. Fuck Whitey. Fuck him.
How many white people does it take to put in a light bulb? None, because they all dead.
So he ends up in Operation Minaret, which is an NSA thing where they started to capture all, like basically what they're doing now to everyone, but only to important people.
Right.
And the NSA, without any legal precedence, had wiretaps.
On anyone outspoken against Vietnam.
Yeah. Martin Luther King. We might have mentioned in the Martin Luther King episode.
I know we did in COINTELPRO because of that break into the FBI office or whatever was all staged surrounding the distraction. Yeah. It was like some Ocean's 11
shit.
All the way through. Happening tonight. That's where
the COINTELPRO, which again, go back and listen to that episode because it's pretty fucking crazy. The FBI is like illegal bullshit. But yeah, during the fight of the century with Frazier, when everybody's watching the fight is when they decided to do the break-in because everybody was going to be
watching. It's like straight out of a movie, though.
Yeah.
Like the security guards are like
they're all doubled
the
over on a black and white TV, like adjusting their rabbit ears, and you're sneaking in behind them.
Best time to go
to
Disneyland is Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Not anymore. The secret's out of the bag, you know, but...
So the other thing that I thought was fucking dope, Did you read about the super fight?
The Rocky Marciano thing? That one?
Was it Rocky Marciano?
Oh, I thought we were
Yeah.
I'm a little confused about it, but
so, okay, I thought we were going to do Gigi Allen versus Muhammad Ali. Like, you immediately you would think Muhammad Ali would win, yeah, but when Gigi Allen's throwing shit, I might throw Ali off his
game.
When
he pulls a hot dog out of his ass and slaps you with it.
So retired.
But he comes in a white glove and mails it to Ali before the fight, you know, like.
He got in his head.
Yeah, so retired
champion Rocky Marciano, they filmed in 1969, each of them sparred and filmed 75 different 1 minute rounds.
Was this just for the joy of the mob? Like, it was like some secret thing where it was not public.
No. Well, no, it was public. They filmed this and then a computer calculated what was likely to happen in a fight between Marciano at his prime and Ali at his prime.
That's weird.
And then it took
the best
of those 75 minute things, put them together in a fight that would most accurately represent what the computer said was going to happen.
But why didn't they just fight? Why 75 1 minute rounds?
Because the computer could then assemble. The computer built the fight based on the rounds that existed.
Right.
The computer said
they fought
this many minutes in, Marciano should have done this. This many minutes in,
Was Marciano
Ali would have
dead
done
or
that.
They really filmed this?
He was just old.
Yeah, I was going to say they were at different times.
So it was at his prime. Like him at his prime. Statistically, him
at his
prime.
Why can't they do that now with Ali and Tyson?
They fucking could.
Dude.
They could. But at the time, they didn't. I mean,
I wonder, you know how they have the Adobe voice thing where they can take like 1 minute of your and then make you say anything?
Oh, yeah. Marciano died in 69. So
I wonder if they're going to be able to do that and get
this would have been the year he died.
Get the moves and mannerisms and, you know what I mean, movements and be able to kind of do that. That's a trip.
So, but in this, they actually filmed it and then they had
and Marciano was only 188 pounds.
Oh, damn.
So that he wasn't a heavyweight.
So they film it and the computer determines what the outcome is. And,
But he held the heavyweight title. That's crazy. That seems small.
Yeah. Ali lost in a 13th round knockout in America.
Right.
And when the computer did the calculations in Europe, Marciano lost due to cuts. And they just showed it based on the 75
what year was
one
this?
Minute. It was in 1969.
And what computer did they have? Fucking hole punches? They're
built
like
a fucking computer.
Yeah.
But then Ali joked and said that the
that's like moon landing fucking computer. Like it's like a whole room. It's all click, 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 click.
He joked and said that the computer that made the U.S. ruling was made in Alabama.
That's funny.
Which is why he didn't win, because Rocky Marciano was
white. Call bullshit on this computer simulation. They didn't have shit in 1969.
So who won?
No.
Who won?
In the States, when they ran it, the computer said Marciano wins in a knockout. And then in Europe, when they ran it, Ali won because they threw the towel in because Marciano was too cut.
So if you ran it again, something else could happen.
For sure.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. So and then you watched it.
So it's kind of a tie or whatever.
Lifetime showing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a tie. They get one wins. They would go back and forth.
Right. Huh. So in 84, he announces that he has Parkinson's and he starts to devote. He's done with boxing by then, but he starts to devote his time to charity. He does a lot for the Special Olympics. He starts to do a lot of money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation and Special Olympics primarily. He becomes the United Nations Messenger of Peace because he starts to do a lot of development in third world countries and tries to raise money for them. He wins the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2005 from George W. He wins the President's Award from the NAACP for his public service. So he spends the later half of his life,
you think they gave George Bush like a little list with like little check boxes next to it? And they're like, you got to pick one, Georgie.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pick one. Yeah. And he's like, well, I guess I like him.
He
and
probably,
like, yeah.
Like, I think it
does
was,
he really pick that? Or they're like, look, this is who we're picking. You need to present the award.
I think they gave him a list of like all the check boxes.
Yeah. And it was they told him.
It was like all the people like this guy discovered a cure for this. This guy did that. This guy did this. And he just like drew a line and wrote Muhammad Ali.
Wasn't even on there.
Exactly.
Muhammad Ali wasn't even on there. It was like there were scientists.
He's the greatest in the world. So
floats like a butterfly.
I didn't actually read how he died.
I mean, he had died. Parkinson's.
Right. I mean, that's kind of my guess. Yeah. Like, yeah. So his funeral was a big deal.
That is a fatal thing. That's kind of like what my grandma died from. Yeah.
His pallbearers were Will Smith, Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis. Apparently, Billy Crystal, the comedian, was like really good friends with him from like way back in the 60s. They used to like, he would like open for like boxing tournaments and shit.
Where's Billy Crystal at? He's actually pretty funny.
He's pretty funny. He's
Shitty Schnickles.
He's so funny. Horrible. Billy Crystal is like,
Did I tell you guys I went to Bill Burr?
No, you said you were going.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. We went to the Ice House and saw Bill Burr. Yeah. He didn't wait and shake anyone's hand, though. I was kind of sad about that. Well, it was a pretty small crowd, though, man. Yeah. It wasn't like it was Rabobank. Like, there's maybe 100 people.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more than 100 people, but like hanging out outside, there might have been 40 people like waiting around.
Right.
I'd have been like, hey, what's
He's
up?
He's a little bigger, though.
Yeah, he like hopped in a Jaguar and took off, but damn, his set was good. He killed it. He was funny, man. Smashed a heck
of Muhammad Ali died of sepsis.
Okay. Ooh.
So,
ouch.
You don't know what that is. It's when your body
It goes toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get bad blood.
Actual bad blood. Exactly.
That's what sepsis
is. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a life threatening response to an infection. It leads to tissue damage and organ failure. So he pretty much died a natural death early, I guess, you know, like and because of the Parkinson's.
A month ago yesterday, as of this recording, they announced that the Louisville airport was being renamed the Muhammad Ali Airport.
That's cool. So,
yeah.
That's cool. No white people allowed.
No, that's right. that's the story of Muhammad Ali. Again, if you like boxing, go back and watch some of his clips. If you don't like boxing,
that's not
go watch
Will Smith obviously.
Play him. Yeah. We skipped over 200 fights. You know?
Yeah, and quotes too. Yeah, I noticed about his quotes, though, you know, the quotes started out, you know, about him being bad. You know, he's a bad mother. You know, this and that. As he got older and the quotes came, they were more about life, living life.
They start to become
not to be afraid. Yeah, have courage. Yeah. You know, or else you can't live life. Pretty cool to go back.
Yeah.
I have a social media winner. You guys ready for that?
Yes.
So for episode 366, the Tuskegee Experiment, Jader Waters on Facebook shared our post.
Jader Waters.
It's Wouters. Not like Tyler. No, this one's actually like Waters.
Are they related?
Jader is a weird first name, though.
Jader is a weird first name. Jader, get over here, Jader. Yeah. Cletus, get your brother Cletus. Come over here, Jader.
Come peel these taters, Jader.
Jader, I'll tell you later.
There's a shout out.
Come get this tater.
Yeah, it's J-A-D-E-R.
Watch out for the gator.
Watch out for the gator. It's just a hater.
Mm-mm, tomatoes.
Don't be a hater.
Yeah. Catch you later, Jader. All right. Fuck. So he's
Darth Vader.
David Spader. She's going to get 7 degrees off.
Yeah. All right.
I don't want to talk. You guys are going to get me.
I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Sure. So he wants a t-shirt for sharing on Facebook. And we really appreciate that because fuck, they block you for everything. I have to consider every little fucking thing. It's like, oh, that image has too much text.
You don't know why? Because he's a traitor.
Fake blood.
Yeah. I mean, we could never make a post that says, you're a masturbator.
Yeah. Anyways, he gets a t-shirt for sharing on social media.
Thanks, Jader.
Also, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That's our primary sponsor. I had to go refill myself on Triple X again. I keep handing that shit out. I always go buy two, and I give one away, and I go through one pretty quick. So I just bought three bottles yesterday.
Sculpt Member of the Month before you do the sponsors?
It's whatever word. Doesn't matter, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
So, there is a Sculpt Member of the Month, so you got to listen to these sponsors.
Sculpt Member of the Month.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Thanks to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Go check them out. You can go to elyucateco.com, and you can save some money buying some merch there and or sauce from them if you use code SOFAKING. Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can go to printdirtcheap.com and also save money buying stuff from them using our code SOFAKING. They make stickers and all kinds of printed goods. So if you have a business or a band or something like that, you can go get some stuff. I'm sure they have something that you need. Thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. He makes our t-shirts. Just did a new order. He just messaged me today. So those are in the works to refill. So if you're waiting on one, that's why. It's Jimmy's fault. But thank you, Jimmy, for everything you do. Go follow him on social media at Jimmy D's Tees. And I think he also does a discount for and use code SOFAKING on that. And last
if not, but not, he does now.
He does now. Last but not least, thank you to Digital Creations. They do our coffee mugs. Those are available on our website at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. That's another way to support us. You can go buy t-shirts and stickers and coffee mugs and all that good stuff. So, Brad, who is the patron of the month?
Patron of the month for, or no, not patron, the Sculpt Member of the
Sculpt
Month.
Member of the
Sculpt Member of the Month. It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. Is Tyler Bajas. Tyler actually contacted me after last week's shout out. Apparently we got something mixed up. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a Boston Steelers fan. It was a Chicago Steelers fan. He lives in Chicago, not Boston. He wanted to make sure he cleared that up.
Mm.
So he's a klepto that lives in Chicago.
Oh, right.
So
right.
Not Boston.
Right.
He also likes when his sandwiches have been touched by more than one person. He was raised with 8 brothers and 9 sisters. They were always complaining about one another touching each other's food. So his parents would make the food and have all the siblings stick their fingers in it before they ate it. This would eliminate bickering and ultimately make him immune to tapeworms.
Yeah, just exposure therapy.
Yeah, yeah. So is it, you specifically said that he likes it when people touch his sandwiches. Is it only sandwiches now, or?
That's what he wrote. I don't know. I mean,
have you ever had a friend?
Sandwiches specifically?
Have you ever had a friend like that?
I guess that's why he goes to Subway. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I had a friend and his rationale was really weird. Like if you go to Subway, it was okay that they touched your sandwich because that was the touching deemed necessary to create said sandwich.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would run all kinds of scenarios through because if you were like at work, he worked at Best Buy with me, Steve Ragsdale. And if you touched his fucking food, he would throw it away. If you went like boop and just
that's he knew
with
you.
The tip of your finger.
Boop. It's different when a stranger touches your hamburger. Or
so
burrito.
I was like, are you being real, dude? You're going to throw that shit away? Like I was just breaking balls. Like, fuck, don't throw it away. Like, fuck, I'll eat it. Like, you know, but he was like upset. Like, damn, I don't have lunch. I'm going to have to throw that away. He could not help himself.
I'd be offended.
He could not eat it.
I'd be offended.
So then I was like,
food.
They just touched the fuck out of it at Subway. Like people you don't even know. At least
six
you know
people
clean.
Touched it.
He's like, but that was necessary. He had this weird OCD, like defined parameter. And I was like, what if they just like right before they put it in the bag, they just drug their finger down the length of
like
it.
Like looked
and
at you.
It into the
looked
bag.
At you in the eyes.
Looked you in the eye.
Right. And then
he's like, I'd fucking
rubbed.
Tell them to make my sandwich again. That was bullshit. That was unnecessary. I was like, you would make a scene and have them. He's like, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't fucking eat it. I'd be horrible to be prisoner to that.
So the thing is, like, wouldn't you just keep like a little plastic knife and fork with you and like cut off the part that got touched and eat the rest of it?
Seems no, weird.
I mean,
that seems even weirder.
I don't know if he just like visualizes.
You wouldn't want to be prisoner to that. You're prisoner to alcohol. What's
germs
the difference?
Running the length of the sandwich. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's weird. Steve
I do have quite the stockpile
You're
of alcohol
weird.
At home now because every birthday I get whiskey and it's just piling up.
I didn't get you.
I never
you told me not
it.
To come.
That's all right. Everyone else came though.
Did they?
Yeah.
How you like scared me. If you're telling me not to come, because
well,
like,
dude,
it's, like,
I told everyone I like, not to come, and I was like, you have kids, especially. It was gonna be like, a pain in your ass to have like fucking 3 kids and a wife. Like some people were just
I,
you, like,
I don't know. Me. I was like, dude, it sounds like Brent's like telling people not to go. Like it sounds pretty bad.
It
I guess.
Was
I don't know.
Slam. So like enough room opened up that we grabbed a table for 4.
Yeah.
Right. And then I was like, okay, well, people walked in, and I was like, dude, just
I don't like think that was that much.
Get a
hockey to go.
Table
like,
or something. So then 2 people got up, 2 people sat down, and slowly we sort of got like a corner
mingled in.
Like over by where the glass doors are where you can see all the equipment, like stuck in the corner, dude. It was it was rough.
Yeah.
And it was so loud. There was like a 1,000 fucking mountain bike people in there. It was crazy.
Oh, okay. He said bikers. I was thinking
no, it was like mountain bikers. Bikes. Yeah.
Like, Brad, don't come.
But there was like a dude dressed like bikers. A taco. There was like fucking serving dishes set up. Like there was a buffet in the corner that had nothing to do with lengthwise food.
Weird.
It was crazy, dude. Yeah, you couldn't even
my wife was
park.
Disappointed. So, she didn't want fish and chips, but
in this scenario, the astounding part of the evening was a room full of bikers, not a guy dressed like a taco.
Well, it's not astounding. I mean, the taco guy was cool. He was high-fiving everyone. I don't know what was behind it, though. It was so fucking loud you couldn't hear.
Hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the taco.
His lips were moving, but you couldn't hear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hmm. Crazy. Casey.
Did you throw some Al Yucateco in his face?
Like right in his eye.
Right in the eye.
Right in the slit. Like his head's the first part of the slit.
No, his face
right
is
on,
out.
His head was basically the clit.
Right.
I mean, you know, did you rub it is what I want to know. Anyway, if you're on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast. I am Raised with Wolves. We have Kid Nugget 606 over here in the yellow corner. And in the white corner, Sofa King Brent.
You went yellow. That's your orange.
Oh, orange.
Yeah. He got sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes and yams. Fucked him up.
Fucked me up. Yeah. Sorry, he's in the orange corner. I'm over here in the black corner with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at Sofa King Podcast. Go on there, like, follow, comment, I guess. Go to our Instagrams. I'm at Raised with Wolves. We have Sofa King Brent and Sofa King Dave. Also, check out the Captainist_SK quotes, Sofa King Podcast Art Unofficial, Hilgenfeld, and Jimmy D's Tees. And also, I guess I should have been saying probably. El Yucateco hot sauce official.
Yeah. Also, you know what? Reclamation Podcast.
Reclamation Podcast.
And Just the Worst Podcast. I guess a couple other podcasts we shouted out are gone now. So, but I apparently that really
Reclamation
helps.
And Just the Worst are gone?
No, those are there. Oh, okay. Those are there. But apparently
Other podcasts.
Yeah, I've gotten some notes from a couple podcasts that were just like, hey, that like my downloads double when you guys say that. So there you go. Go check them out. They do good work.
Yeah. I've actually been listening to Project Reclamation. Good guys. Cool guys. So check them out. And then obviously Patty Larson,
Mr. Frick, he came and visited us at the studio. Yeah,
Mr. Frick, not us. He said he
was looking for you.
Yeah. Yeah. He was.
Thank you, Axel, for the cookies.
Yeah. Axel and Naya.
Yeah, Axel and Naya.
All right. What was I at? Lost my space. Anyway, go to Facebook, join the unofficial SK Ultra group if you want to chime in with other people that are like minded or not like minded. But go on there. There are other listeners on there. Go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast and donate to the show. It helps us out and we give back to you guys as patrons. So we were giving out decanters and boxes that are burned and glass etched, all that
exclusive
good stuff.
T-shirts, pictures. Yeah, exclusive whiskey glasses, stuff you can't get otherwise.
Yep. And then you can also check out the playlist for songs at the end of the episodes on Spotify. Just search for Sofa King Podcast 2019. Follow that. I'll be adding songs to it. We're kind of going to be changing the format for the songs in the near future. I don't know if I'm going to get it on this one or not, but just letting you guys know. So if you like the music that I choose to play, follow the playlist and it'll come up in Spotify. And there's also a Sofa King Podcast playlist, and it's all the older stuff from last few years. So this calling it the Patreon in song now is going to be the Artifacts by Barclay Crenshaw. That's super Muhammad Ali right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So don't be retarded.
Everything expires, but not the future, my fire on. Every toke, I'm higher, skyscraper like the Empire. Brooklyn nigga, I'm Goliath, two stone, whenever light up. I deliver like a Midas, straight gold, not even trying on. G's moving silent, surveillance surround us. Search for Nirvana, souls get eaten by governed piranhas. Open your iris to the signs and the omens beside us. That's why we riding with the shoddy gears, oh, well, don't try us. I keep an AK in my trapdoor, lift the wood, you'll find it. I took a vacay from the rap game and I'm still the flyest. I fornicate and puff grade A while on resorts and islands. See no sorts of violence, took some losses, through it all, I triumph. They cannot break a G.O.D., stack in the key till he obese. Switch my lanes like Need for Speed. Use my brain like NZT, a castaway you lost at sea. Try ride the wave with you and G. Ain't no time for perpetrators, only real, my team supreme. Everything expires, but not the future, my fire. Every talk I'm highest, got scraper like the Empire. Pile a nigga, I'm Goliath, two stone, would never light up. I deliver like a Midas, strike gold, not even trying. Took the crucifix above my neck, ain't got no time to pray. I've been sticking to myself in constant battle with my faith. I be floating around the city, only fake shit in my face. Demons taking over everything real quick like Gondolet. See, we living in a holocaust, this is a silent war. But I kick back, burn the connoisseur, and kick like Molotov. All my pins is kinda soft, got a problem, knock them off. Chop them up like we ain't stone, I'd ask a dinner for my dog. I grew up on Lil Weezy, man, shout out to Holly Grove. Told me chase that fettuccine like I'm whipping on the stove. I remember growing up, these niggas took me as a joke. Now I came up out the back, I'm imitating Rosa Parks. Sinners and the ones inside the church, they mostly lost and delivered. Got a global dominance to make the war fucking finish. If you really got the world in
inside your palm. Close your fingers, do your thing. You can pray up to the Lord for your wishes. But the bigger picture, niggas fucking pouring the scripture. Grip the cross around my neck like take control and defend the semen on my shoulder. Said that Jesus gone to November. When I'm on the record like Guinness, I'm passing limits. Travel like I'm moving my pivot. I gotta get it, bruh. Shorty fell in love with my image. I lift for spirits up a privilege. FAK trying to hit it, her man be with it. Offer after offer, give your daughter to this author. Gift for life, nobody taught him. All this shit had to work hard for. A iller breed with ignorant tendencies. That hard shit I deliver, so I know they remember me. Like fiends, they coming back, bumping your shit, made him relapse. I got the Buddha, got the jet. Lil mama, where you at? Flawless karma, got my back, but we still mobbing with the strap. Like a toddler